This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Jesus, why? After a day of travel, packing up all their things after a time away, of heading back home, traveling along the roadways with relatives and friends, hearing the kids playing and talking and laughing in the background, Jesus' parents get to their stop for the night. They turn and they look back into that crowd of kids where they assumed Jesus was, where they thought they maybe had heard Jesus' voice along the way, where they figured he must have come, and he can't find him. Have you seen Jesus? Did you see Jesus? Where's Jesus? He's not there. Imagine that grip of panic in their heart, the way that fear of losing the most precious thing on earth, as it sets in and they wonder, well, where is he gone? Is he okay? What's happened? And they ask, "No, we haven't seen Jesus. No, we haven't seen Jesus. Come to think of it, we haven't seen him this whole time." So Mary and Joseph set out that night at the end of the day in a rush to get back to Jerusalem. Like the disciples along the Emmaus Road did when they found Jesus in the breaking of the bread at the end of the day and turned around and ran all the way back to Jerusalem to announce that they had found Jesus. Is Jesus' life here in his story in our gospel begin with a similar frantic running, but this time not to say that I found Jesus, but to say that I've lost him? Do his parents look at the darkness of the night and worry and wait till the morning? Hopefully he'll turn up. Do they run all the way back to Jerusalem knowing where he went? Or do they take time and search every nook and cranny along the way? Every little cliff that he might have fallen down, every side trail that he might have wandered upon. Are they covered in dust and weariness as they come back to Jerusalem? Or are they coming and heading back to family and friends that are living in Jerusalem and searching for Jesus there. Maybe he just stayed over. However it is, it's 3 whole days before they find him. 3 days of grief. 3 days of worry. 3 days of loss. Jesus' story ends in days of loss. 3 days before they find him again in that opened empty tomb. And here at the beginning of the gospel, there's 3 days too. 3 days of worry and grief and loss. Until finally, at the end of those days, Mary comes to the temple, and there Jesus is. And as she comes, she arrives, and there's a question that's asked. It's the only recorded question in all of Scripture that Mary ever asked Jesus. The only one of probably many, many questions that Mary asked Jesus throughout his life. The only question that is actually deemed worthy of writing into the book. The question that bears with it a weight and a thickness and a purpose beyond that one instance. The question that Mary asks is, Jesus, why? After looking in all the wrong places for answers, she finally comes to God's house and says, Jesus, why? Now, Jesus has his own answer here. He answers his mother with, well, of course I was here. I had my own questions to be answered. Jesus had his own desire to grow in his own self-knowledge, the knowledge of who he was, of who he was becoming, the knowledge of what God was up to. And as the scriptures say, he grew in knowledge and wisdom and favor. He goes to the temple to enter into those questions, to enter into the questioning, to be present with the teachers, asking and answering questions back and forth. He answers his mother, why were you searching for me? You knew where I was all along. One translation of Scripture says that Jesus was in the temple those days discussing deep questions. It doesn't say what those questions are. We never are told exactly what questions Jesus was asking. While we know Mary's question to Jesus here that sort of completes the story, we don't know the questions that Jesus was asking along the way, only that they were deep questions. As I imagine the questions that Jesus was asking, they're not the pedantic, rarefied questions that haughty theologians ask, like how many angels can dance on the pinhead of a needle. These deep questions were bigger questions, and questions that we're all rather familiar with, and that sound a lot like the question that Mary asked. It's God, why? The biggest questions that I face as a pastor often have that shape. They come from experiences of death and grief, and trauma and oppression. God, why? As I've been teaching confirmation this past semester, I think of my confirmation students and their questions. As we've been talking about and learning about the cross of Jesus this last semester, it's provided a venue for some of these deep questions to come up. God, why? Why was it that Jesus had to die on the cross? Why did anybody have to die on crosses? Why are people so mean to one another? Why are people so mean to me? I heard that question just this morning. Why do I experience sexism from a classmate who I grew up with? Why do my teachers say racist things? Why is there homophobia in the world? Why are we afraid of one another? Why do we divide ourselves up into us and them? Why did slavery have to exist? Why does war have to exist? Why are we in this pandemic? Why is this disease making everybody sick? Why have over 10,000 Minnesotans now died from it? Why are there structures like racism and ableism and classism and all those isms that tell us that some of us are lesser than others? God, why? The biggest questioning times in my life I can think of are those that came at times of pretty great trauma. Like my son's diagnosis with a potentially fatal genetic condition 5 days after his birth. Or going back to my earlier memories, my parents divorcing. I was in elementary school and too young to really understand relationships. Or when I was in college and had my first big heartbreak and was still too young to really understand relationships. But not young enough that I didn't hurt. And in that hurting, asking that question, God, why? Have you ever asked that question? Maybe you're asking it today. Maybe you've been asking it for so long that you forget that it's still there, just sort of dwelling in you. Jesus is in deep questions. And Jesus in his life, though he's only had 12 years, he's seen a lot. If we remember his story, he is born in Bethlehem. And he lives there for a time, we're told, growing up, being cared for with that extended family of Joseph, who's from there. Eventually, they get out of the stable conditions and find a place to live, because we know that the wise men, the magi, the travelers that have come from afar to honor and pay homage to him, when they look for him, they look in Bethlehem. They go to Bethlehem to see him, following the light of a star. We know it's been some time now since his birth when they come. And so he grows up in those early years there in Bethlehem, but after the visit of the Magi, King Herod gets upset. King Herod, who wanted to deal with this threat to his throne. Who would this one be who would Magi would come from afar and pay homage to, if not one of my house? He wanted to deal with this, and the Magi didn't tell him exactly where this young child was, and so he took, in his cruelty, to commanding that all children, age 2 and younger, in and around that region, would be killed. Mary and Joseph flee on the news of an angel, flee to Egypt to escape this trauma. But as they go and take little Jesus with them, and they live in Egypt for a time, as Jesus is coming to the age now where he's beginning to understand things, beginning to form his first memories, do they tell him the story of why he's in Egypt? Do they tell him the story of why they had to run? Do they tell him the story of why now it's safe to go back into the land and to move again as he's a little older and settle in Nazareth? Do they tell him about Herod and the violence that he escaped? As he's growing up, he sees the empire of Rome and the soldiers and the centurions around subjugating the people of Israel. And on their trips down to Jerusalem every year, they see the soldiers on the roadways and at the city gates. Are they told, or is he told about the empire of Rome and how the people are oppressed? Jesus, in his 12 years, has seen a lot. He's been through some pretty traumatic things, and I imagine him coming here to the temple and asking questions, those deep questions of God. Why? When we ask that question, God, why? We're really asking, God, where are you? God, where were you? If you had been here, the question is phrased a little later on in scriptures in the mouths of Mary and Martha. If you had been here, this never would have happened. This grief, this loss would not have happened. If you had loved me, you would have come. You would have been here. And when Mary comes and asks Jesus this question after searching for him for 3 days, she says, Jesus, child, why? Where were you? Why weren't you with me? When Jesus answers, we learn that he was there in the temple. He was in the questions. Quite literally, he was asking questions back and forth. And as he shares that, he lets us know that he's also in the questions still, in the questions now. Jesus' power and the power of God has never been in the overt power of governments and empires and answers. Power that sort of puts upon the people what must be. But the power of God, as it's shown in Jesus, is a vulnerable power. It works in a more subtle way. It's the vulnerable power of children, of subtlety, of sincerity, of questions. The power of Jesus shows up in the power of the manger, a vulnerable power. The power of shepherds, unguarded out in the fields. The power of a cross, which is overcome and fulfilled in the power of an empty tomb. The power comes in the form of open doors and extended hands and simple generosity and trust, even in the toughest times and in the most traumatic of situations. The power of God shows up in those times. In the trust that God's love is yet present, that hope is not yet lost, that God's purposes are not yet thwarted, that the reign of flourishing life is yet at hand, and that my and your inherent value can never be questioned, even in our deepest times of questioning. And even when those questions come, Jesus, why? Why don't you care about me? Jesus answers, I'm here. I'm present. And the questions themselves. In the darkness of that doubt, the flicker of light still shines. The flicker of the light of Jesus present in that question. Search for that light. Trust in that light in your darkest moments. Trust it to guide you back to God's house, where you will see God's presence and feel it and bring it with you again. And when you see it, when you come to that finding in the midst of all your questions, may you be as Mary and treasure God's presence in your heart. Presence that's been with you the whole time. Amen.